950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Of course, the gem in the Twin Cities is the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. If you, I mean, that's an easy museum to spend an entire day in and not even get close to seeing it all. It is one of my favorite places to go. Last week, my daughter was on spring break, so we decided to head on over there. And we went and visited the exhibit, Supernatural America, the Paranormal in American Art. It is freaking exceptional. And it's exceptional on a lot of different levels. I'm going to talk about that right now. The curator of the paintings at Minneapolis Institute of Arts is Dr. Robert Cozzolino. He is kind enough to join us today. He has curated over 60 exhibits, including Supernatural America. Starting Where You Are is critical to his practice, knowing the immediate context and deeper history of the place in which he works. It also means working with humanity and accepting that there is much yet to learn from others. And I think that that kind of comes through quite a bit in Supernatural America. Dr. Cozzolino, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks for letting me come on your show, Matt.
My absolute pleasure. You guys have had some great exhibits over there at the MIA. Talk about the genesis of this idea, that's the supernatural elements within art.
So I started working on it in 2016, which is right basically when I moved here from Philadelphia. And I have been collecting images by artists of ghosts, of UFOs, of anomalous kind of experiences, and also just read in the archive when I would be doing research, time and time again, artists having these experiences. And so just out of curiosity, I started collecting these things in little database banks and stuff like that. And, you know, I myself have met lots of people who have had these experiences, assert that they are true and real. I have had some. I was born on Halloween, so my friends joke I was predestined to do this eventually. But, you know, in all seriousness, I think it's a basic human impulse to wonder if we're alone in the universe, and then degrees from that wonder, is there an afterlife? Where do our souls go after it leaves our body? Does it go anywhere? And can you depict it?
Now, when you described that you had started piecing together these images, were these images within the MIA's archives, or were they images that you knew existed across America?
Yeah. So, you know, it took 5 years of dedicated research on top of whatever I had been doing casually before that. And this is a big loan show, which for, you know, your listeners means that we have to convince private collectors, archives, other museums to lend things to a show like this. So it's all sourced from where the material resides in its home base. There are some, maybe about a dozen objects that are from Mia's collection, but most of them are from far and wide. And, you know, casting a great net to try to find where the most relevant material to tell the story is part of that process.
You also have a parameter within the exhibit and that it's American art. Talk a little bit about that, because obviously, I mean, ghosts. I saw a video on YouTube about a seance for the Queen in England. So it's not like this is just something that happens just here in the United States. But talk about why you wanted to primarily focus on the American artists.
So part of it is just being able to focus so this isn't a show of 1,500 objects. You know, you already saw that it was big and cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, especially right now, although in 2016 when I was starting it, some of the same questions were not really at the top of our minds. You know, people kept asking me, is there something that's specific about the context in the United States to haunting? Why is America haunted? And I think part of it is that, you know, we might think of ghosts as metaphorical if we're not believers, or we might actually have seen them. But I also think of history as haunting the present. And certainly living in the Twin Cities in the last several years, we feel that very keenly, that the things that have happened here on this soil, on this land, they're still here, they're unsettled ghosts, and I think that whole national story of why America's haunted has to do with our violent past. Now, you know, during the time of the coronavirus, as in times after the First World War or after the American Civil War, people sort of asked, you know, is it possible to still contact those that have passed on in the other world? Can you contact them? Can they contact us? So I think all of this kind of stuff is relevant to our current times, but also there's a national context for it. And I think it's that sense that there's unsettled business in history that manifests itself as a feeling of haunting.
And I don't think there are very few people who would be better at trying to figure out that than artists, because, you know, the unknown is something that, you know, taking a mind that can think on a creative level that is truly advanced, I think that that's actually an asset. So this is why I think this exhibit is very well done. And by the way, I do like, as you talk about the idea of trying to figure out what's beyond, your exhibit does have a lot of Ouija boards and other kind of talking to the paranormal kind of pieces of equipment you dug up. Those are fantastic, too.
Yeah, you know, one thing to just know is that, you know, we might think of this stuff as, the realm of maybe belief and religion or something like that, but scientists in the 19th century, including people like Thomas Edison, were really interested in whether we could make devices that could tune in on a certain channel to the spirit realm in the way that, you know, suddenly we're able to see things we couldn't through a microscope or a telescope, or radio started to come in, or the telegraph seemed miraculous. That's that kind of thing. So, you know, the interest in the overlap between science and the spiritual is something that you see in the show. Either artists are dealing with it, or there's devices that people have made, like you said.
Joining us right now, once again, Dr. Robert Cozzolino, he's curator of Supernatural America, the paranormal and American art over at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. I believe that runs till May 15th. You do want to go see this. It starts off, as you go through this, the first thing that caught my mind, and I got to tell you, this kind of floored me. I go to a lot of museums. I love art, and I love American art. Mm-hmm. And Wythe, Grant, Whistler. I mean, all of a sudden I'm seeing the American masters and pieces I have never seen. And this goes back to what you're saying. Things that were in private collections or in relatively small museums that don't get seen a lot. These are some great pieces just overall as paintings that it's just a privilege to be able to see some of those great American masters and pieces I've never seen from them on display.
Yeah, you know, I think another reason why, you know, this question of why I focus on American art is that I can't really overemphasize how little attention has been paid to this theme in American culture, but it's everywhere. You know, it's in podcasts and TV and radio and all the kind of media that we've ever consumed, ghost stories going back to the beginning of people writing them down. And so it just makes sense that artists would also be drawn to it. As you mentioned, you know, making a dramatic image, or in the most cases, the people who are in the show, having witnessed or experienced those things and wanting to make them tangible for other people. But you're right. People like who are household names, like Whistler, were really curious about this stuff and went to seances, were interested and immersed in a serious way, and wanted to depict either people they knew who were mediums, or their way of thinking about how to make a picture was influenced by the experience of being in those darkened rooms and hearing the whispers through a medium of ghosts and stuff like that. So it's everywhere. And I think one of the things that the show tries to do, Matt, is to really kind of ask, what does that have to do for the wider culture? If these mainstream artists whose interest in this was kind of marginalized and maybe glossed in their biographies, what if we foregrounded that? You know, what kinds of other questions come up, and how do we see their other work differently?
I'm going to go through the exhibit a little bit here because want everyone to go there, because it is huge. It's quite a big exhibit, and there are some great pieces. When you're talking about, I don't want necessarily it's the ghost area, but kind of the stuff about apparitions and ghosts and devils and demons.
Yeah.
I like how you broke the art down. It seemed to me, it's just as I was going through, into kind of three different categories. There was very religious art, like angels and fighting demons and stuff, which is some wonderful pieces there. You also have kind of more traditional ghost pictures that are kind of just out there that kind of present a scene with what you're looking at, a ghost that doesn't seem to just kind of a something that you're seeing within the image. It's not necessarily saying it's a spirit or anything. It's just kind of that sort of thing. So, yeah, the religious. And then you just have some creepy ones. And the creepy ones are kind of fun as well. But I love how you laid it out, because there was a relation I noticed between, as I was going through that, where you look at one painting, it's like there's the one painting where the angels are trying to keep the devil away as they're trying to go get the soul.
Oh, yeah.
On the other side of the wall over there was just kind of this creepy shadow painting. And I'm like, you know, I like how you did this, because on one side, it kind of ties it all together, and some of it's just something you might see. It might be a religious belief. It just might be something you'd like to get creeped out by, but the reality is it's all part of the same art genre.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the painting that you're talking about with the battle over the soul with these devils and angels, I love that painting. It's a crowd favorite, and it's done in the 1930s. It's sort of a Dust Bowl region picture. And the artist, John McCready, actually, you know, saw this homestead and had talked to the man that lived there. And he later, kind of his imagination went, and he paints this deathbed scene we can see through the sort of open door. It's almost like it's set up like an old Hollywood film, you know, in the way that it's all crafted. And it's dark. The dog in the picture outside is like looking up so the dog can actually see the paranormal thing that's happening. But it's also, you know, it's an African-American family. So I don't know if you noticed this, but the angels are all African-American.
Yes.
And so, you know, or they're black. And so, you know, the artist is really picking up on the cultural cues and also the region and the community that he's in. But he's imagining this dramatic, exciting thing happening where this devil is coming up and snorting smoke out of his nose. It's a traditional sort of Christian theme, but it's set in the Depression era America out on the homestead. So it's kind of a fascinating thing that's happening in the midst of what you might consider your daily life.
I also, when you talk about paranormal activities, there's another thing which I came across me. There's a painting in there of an orange-haired woman who looks like she's casting a spell. And as I was looking at this painting, I was saying to myself, dear Lord, I mean, that looks like half the freaking Instagram accounts I see. and I just started, I said, you know, this is, you know, sometimes you do kind of wonder, and I'm not sure exactly the date of that picture, and I don't know if you don't remember which one I'm talking
about. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's a great painting. It's called The Lady Magician. It's from 1947. It's by an artist named Sylvia Fine, who I urge your viewers to look up. She is 102.
Wow.
She'll be 103 this year. She's still living and working in Martinez, California. And she was from Milwaukee, went to school in Madison, went to Mexico during the Second World War and lived and worked there, and then settled in California. And that's a self-portrait. You know, she uses herself in all of her pictures. And in some ways, you know, that's like this super meticulously detailed, miraculous portrait of this person who's casting a bubble that has a bird in it, and you're not sure if she's encased the bird or if she's conjured the whole thing. But then there's art supplies on the table, and so she's sort of saying, in some ways, the creative process is mysterious and magical.
Well, and then what you also get is the, you know, like I said, this is shows you how much art can impact life, because reality is she saw something way ahead of everyone else, kind of where kind of, even though it's a painting of its nature in the 1940s, it really does seem like that painting is a bit of an influencer today for the influencers, I guess you would call it. But, you know, it is sometimes remarkable how an older painting like that seems to capture future society incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. I think that happens in some surprising ways throughout the show, actually. I think you're right. And, you know, you mentioned that the show is sort of organized by these themes. And in each gallery, visitors will see there's historical material, but there's also contemporary material. So it's like the past and the present are speaking back and forth to one another in the show.
One last area I want to ask about is UFO art. And what I found to be very interesting about that was it was clearly a subgenre of pop art. In that you have this, you know, and I noticed as I was going through it, I said, this does remind me a lot of modern pop art, and it doesn't surprise me, especially as my generation grew up with aliens and you know, UFOs and flying saucers. It doesn't surprise me that you're seeing more of that in art. Talk a little bit about the UFO art and how difficult it is, because most of that is relatively probably the last 50 years or so, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's actually a group of drawings and collages by this guy who lived in Houston, Texas, in the 19-teens and 20s named Charles Delashaux, who said he was part of the Aero Club, but we're not sure that there was anybody else besides him. And he filled all these folios with images of flying machines that seemed like they were intended to go out of the atmosphere. But everything else is mostly, like you say, from the last 50 years, which makes sense because you have, you know, people orbiting in space for the first time in 1961 or so. And, there's this conflation with the idea of space travel and the possibility of going to other planets with the fear that, you know, hostile extraterrestrials are going to come to us, which is in film, it's in comics, it's everywhere. But the artists that are in that part, I want to stress, for the most part, felt like they had had these experiences or had had really formative UFO sightings or in some cases saw interdimensional beings walking around their home in Baldwin, Louisiana. You know, terrifying, illuminating, but they're making their art out of that firsthand experience, and it is a broad range of interpretations of it. And it includes Bud Hopkins, the guy who's probably best known for, he was an artist, but he's best known for sort of publishing books that are the accounts of UFO abductees.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is I mean, when you look at, you know, the impact of a good pop art is looking around society and what's out there and kind of representing it as as it is for everyone out there. And that was really amazing because I never really thought about that. But especially as you get, you know, more people who love science and science fiction and stuff, I have to imagine that's going to be a genre that's actually going to grow more and more over the over time here, at least for the next few years, for sure.
Yeah, I think that of any of the sections in the show that could be expanded to its own thing, it would definitely be an international UFO exhibition that's really about firsthand experience because it's international in scope. It's all over the place, and I think I just barely scratched the surface, really.
I think you did a magnificent job putting this together. It was 6 years total that it took you to get this all together?
Yeah, it's from start to getting it right here to Mia.
Wow, wonderful job. I mean, that's long view too, man. That's nicely done. I will highly, highly encourage everyone to go over there and see this. The Supernatural America is over at the MIA. And it's Supernatural America, the Paranormal in American Art. And that is at MIA until May 15th. Become a member. I was there on Thursday. I was a member. I got in for free. It was great.
Great.
Go become a member of the MIA, and you can get great perks like that as well. Robert Cozzolino, Doctor, thank you very much. It's always appreciated. I always love getting to talk with people who are big in the art world because I love art. And congratulations on a fantastic exhibit.
Thank you for your kind words, and I really appreciate your interest, and thanks for having me on.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for the time. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.